Oh, we have a couple of different intros for these books. I totally forgot about that. So why don't I read this one and you can read this one? It was 8 by the clock, and all around town, the creatures of bear country were all settling down.
It's been a long day, and bedtime has come, when little bears fight it, tired grown-ups succumb.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and what's that sound you hear? It's the sound of northern Minnesota. A little further west, a little further north than we usually are, because we are in Pearl, Minnesota, on a quick vacation to beautiful Otter Tail County, Pearl City Lake. What's the lake?
Rush Lake.
We are by the lake. We are cabin nearish the lake. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. It's a wonderful time to be out of the city. And it is a little chilly, a little rainy, a little drizzly. Not the perfect outdoor weather, but we are so happy to be on vacation. But there is no rest for the weary. There is no rest for the tired. And there is no rest for the vacationers. We must record an episode of Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. And in order to do that, I decided to make this a family affair. That's right. My guest this week is returning guest, the lovely, the amazing, my wonderful partner in crime and life, Alana. Hello, Alana.
Hello, Phil.
We just had a great dinner.
Yes.
At Cactus in Pearl, Minnesota. $2 burger night. They asked us if we were there for $2 burger night, and we said no. But then we were like, that's a pretty good deal for a hamburger, $2. They have pretty solid-looking burgers. This is not an episode about the Berenstain Bears eating burgers, or is it? It's not. This is not a book about burgers. This is a book about another B-word, bedtime, and another B-word, battles. That's right. This week's episode is about the Berenstain Bears bedtime battle. But not just one book called the Berenstain Bears Bedtime Battle. The Berenstain Bears Bedtime Battle from both 1993, a Cub Club book, Look Ma, I'm Reading, and from 2005, the Berenstain Bears Bedtime Battle. And that is a book published by HarperCollins under their Harper Festival label. These are the books that were being developed after they left Random House. These are the books that were the new version of the first time books. And this is simply an extension of, a rewrite of, a retelling of the original Bedtime Battle. And so we're here to discuss the book, discuss its relevancy, see if it has a lesson to teach, and see which version is better, the original Cub Club book or the other, it's not a first time, the other book, the story book. So here we are. Welcome back, Alana.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me in this beautiful cabin in the woods. So the bedtime battle, I guess usually I start off by saying, like, is this book relevant to our lives?
I would say this book was less bedtime battle-y than I expected based on our lives. There wasn't actually that much battle. But then I was like, oh no, are we just really bad parents?
Well, there's funny because the books tell essentially the same story across the two of them. Like the same, they hit the same beats. They have the same like basic ideas. But it feels like they really emphasize the battle more in the rewrite of the book than they do in the original. So the basic story between these two books is that Mama and Papa are trying to get the cubs ready for bed. The cubs have all their toys out. The living room is a mess. So Mama lays out the rules of getting ready for bed, which are pick up all your toys, go to bed, take a bath, brush your teeth, say your prayers, and read a story and go to sleep. That's essentially the way you go to bed. And they do all this. And by the end of the book, the parents are more worn out than the children. And it's the parents who end up falling asleep, not the cubs. In the original Cub Club version of the book, it is a series of poems. Like it's all told in verse. And it's very simple. It's just laid out as kind of a little story. Like, haha. At the end of the day, it's always the parents who are more exhausted than the cubs.
It's also very almost like it's like written in outline form. It's like, I have rules for bedtime. Mm-hmm. Rule number one is put your toys away.
Right.
And then it has a page about putting the toys away.
And it's very much mama-led.
Oh, yeah.
In the Cub Club book.
Dad, the papa says, I think, like one sentence.
He has like one line.
Which is, don't splash me.
Right. Which, okay, so...
Although we noted he is present.
Right.
Active. He's just not talking. And it could be because the Kubla book is about making it simple enough for kids to read.
Yes.
So.
But we have the first like major spread, which is just how messy the living room is with all of the Cubs' toys. And in both books, the Cubs have made a mess of the living room. In the Cub Club version of the book, it's more chaotic. In the storybook version of the book, Brother is doing his thing and Sister is doing her thing. And in the storybook version of the book, it has what you said is the greatest smart alecky joke ever told in a Berenstain Bears book. And what is that joke?
Bedtime already, said Brother Bear. Gee, I'm just getting my Jurassic dinosaurs lined up to fight my Cretaceous dinosaurs. That's all very well, said Papa. But quite aside from the fact that they could never have fought because they lived millions of years apart, it happens to be bedtime. I've never heard Papa that mouthy.
That mouthy, and like that's scientifically accurate. The Jurassic and the Cretaceous, which to me smacks of Mike Berenstain being involved in the rewrite, because Mike Berenstain, as we all know, was the dinosaur lover in the family. He wrote many dinosaur books before he got involved with like the specific Berenstain Bears books, and he always loved drawing dinosaurs. So I bet this is a conversation he has had.
And the Cub Club book, in the mess of toys, there was even a doll who could blow her own nose.
Yes.
And in the picture you see, it's called Baby Sniffle.
Yeah, Sister Bear has a doll that can blow its own nose, and it's a...
Like, why was that not picked up? I mean, come on.
Like, picked up for...
Like, actual creation.
Why did the Berenstains not throw caution to the wind and throw all their money behind a
baby
doll?
Baby Sniffle.
A doll that can blow its own nose.
My
sister had... What is the doll that could eat and...
Baby Alive.
Baby Alive. I think that's how it went. I love the way you make me feel.
That,
you're so real.
Drink and then pee.
It could drink and then pee. It could eat and then poop. Because you mix up a little baby food. There's a little powder that came with it. You mix it with water. You feed it in its mouth. And then it would like drop through the baby shell and come out the bottom. I assume that Baby Sniffle, you would fill it with some kind of like... Ghostbusters type slime, which was really popular in the 80s and 90s. Some kind of Nickelodeon gack or splat. Fill its head cavity with it. And then when it lifted its arm to its nose, it would like shoot out like ropes of plasm.
What did you want to say, Mitzi?
Look who's here. Now, Mitzi, the first beat in this book is about the Cubs having to clean up the living room because they've made a wreck of it with their toys. And the bear...
Do you know what a beat is?
When I say the first beat of this book, the first like, yeah, first major story chunk. And in the Cub Club version, Mama just comes in with the cardboard box and throws everything in the cardboard box. In the storybook version, why do you like the storybook version better? Wait a minute. So Mitzi, which version did you like better? Because you were not actually being recorded.
The story version. Because it's just better.
Well, what happens in the storybook version that is different from the Cub Club version?
Well, it's longer, it's not in rhyme, it's better.
No, I'm talking about this specific moment with the cleaning of the toys. In the Cub Club version, Mama throws all their stuff in a box. In the storybook version, Papa challenges them to a race to see who can clean up the toy mess faster.
I definitely like the storybook version better.
So,
the storybook version, Mama is rolling her eyes at Papa.
His idea, or just his
in
general?
Like actual bear snark. I've never seen this before. It's pretty funny. Look at that look on her face. She's like, ugh.
So Papa comes up with the idea that they're gonna So here's what the Cubs do, and this. So Alana and I were reading this book, and a lot of it rang true for us. So they tell the Cubs, "You have to clean up," and the Cubs try to come up with excuses not to clean up. You have to clean up. You have to clean up. You have to clean up. So what do the Cubs do? That is the most realistic thing I've ever seen in a Berenstain Bears book up to this point.
Clean up their toys so slowly.
They move as slowly as possible while they're cleaning up. And there is something about that is direly authentic that I absolutely adore. That there is something about a child deliberately antagonizing their own parents by moving as slowly as possible. That is the most realistic thing they could possibly do. And then when Papa challenges them to the race, they don't move any faster. And Papa just wears himself out cleaning up their toys, which is also something I've done.
I usually leave them.
You just leave them. So we have this rule that all toys must be cleaned up before bed.
We do?
We do. There's not a lot of follow through all the time because we haven't quite figured out how to make it work. Mitzi is the perpetrator of these crimes. And Mitzi, I have a lot of adults who are listeners and they have children and you are a child. So you're the expert here. If parents want, if these, not us, but if these other parents, these listening parents wanted to get their children to clean up at bedtime, what do you suggest they do?
They don't do anything because there's really no way unless the children want to clean up.
Okay. Okay. What would make a child want to clean up?
What if they thought their toys would get stepped on and smushed?
That happened to one of my mushrooms.
That happened to one of your mushrooms? What's one of your mushrooms?
I don't know what type it was, but it was a cool mushroom.
And it got stepped on?
By someone here.
Would it have gotten stepped on if it had been picked up and put away?
No.
So after that happened, after the mushroom was stepped on accidentally, did from then on always clean up your toys?
No.
Well, why not? I do not understand why you wouldn't do that. So if the threat of damage doesn't encourage you to do it, what makes a child want to clean up their toys? Is it maybe something that shouldn't wait until bedtime?
I mean, nothing wants make me want to pick up my toys.
So the answer to that is children just don't want to pick up their toys.
I mean, unless we're going somewhere special, but bed is not special. So you can go to bed anytime you want. And the parents are eventually going to just have to let it be. So, you know, just don't do it.
Just don't do it. All right. Thank you very much, special guest star Mitzi. The next thing that happens is the cubs beg for a piggyback ride up the stairs. In the Cub Club book, brother jumps on papa's back and sister jumps on mama's back. But in the storybook, they both climb onto papa's back, which seems dangerous and terrible because that's not comfortable and not a fun thing to do.
Then they throw off all their clothes.
They do then throw off all their clothes. But I haven't given you a piggyback ride in a long time.
I give you one today.
Mama gave you one today.
Have you ever given me a piggyback ride?
You've jumped on my back before, but that's more a mama thing.
I've jumped on your back, but not really like held on.
So why do you have mama piggyback you?
I don't know.
Why do you piggyback?
Because I used to carry her everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. I used to carry her in that sling.
Okay.
But you like carried her like in your body. I guess you have more experience. It's funny because like when I think of like tumbling and lifting and like all that stuff, to me, that's you two. That's like a mama Mitzi thing. And piggyback rides sort of go hand in hand with that. I was never good at piggyback rides.
Like, not a lot to be good at.
But like, I mean like real, like, okay, I guess like shoulder rides. You know, sometimes you see kids sitting on like a parent's shoulder.
Yeah, we don't do that.
We've never done the shoulder ride thing. Like
now I'm too big.
At parades or anything.
I never wanted it.
You never wanted it.
I thought we did it once at Holidazzle.
Yeah.
When you were really little, there's this parade downtown in the winter in Minneapolis.
At Holidazzle, I set you on my shoulder so you could see the parade.
Because we were like freezing.
But you were also like this big. You were a very small one. I could not carry you up the stairs right now on my back unless I was like ready to go to bed. And I certainly couldn't carry you and, say, one of your friends on my back at the same time.
So where I'm going with this is, so they call this book, both of these books, The Bedtime Battle. So, okay, kids don't want to clean up their toys. Yeah. There's like 15 other Berenstain Bears books about that. And then they want to piggyback right up the stairs. I mean, all right. I don't see that as a battle.
Well, I see what is, the difference I see is in this Cub Club, if you look at the illustrations in the Cub Club book, they're like, let's go upstairs on your backs. And they do. And it's like, hooray, hooray. Everyone's happy. And in this one, they beg Papa for a piggyback ride. And it's obviously like wearing him down. Like, at least to me, the storybook at least shows the parents gradually getting worn down by how tiring bedtime is.
And then he just, as his payment, gets thrown, clothes thrown on him.
As his payment, the cubs throw their clothes.
That is true. At the same time, though, they're rushing to get into the tub when before they were trying to get them to rush to clean up their toys. So I was like, what do you want?
What do you want, Mama?
They say, last one in is a dirty bird. Well, that's basically like a race to the tub before in this very book, Papa was trying to do a race to clean up the toys.
But yeah, it's funner when the kids want to do it because when the grown-ups suggest it, why would you do it?
In this book, when they race down the hall and throw off their clothes, they're wearing odd bare undergarments under their clothes.
Yeah, you don't really realize that brother and sister are both wearing strap t-shirts, like tank top tees and white
tidy whiteies
and tidy whiteies under their clothes all the time, I guess. I guess that's just...
I guess. They are bears and have fur. In the other book,
they literally get naked and run up the stairs.
They're just nude. They're just nude in the other book. In fact, we pointed out that when brother and sister are in the bathtub together, at least in the Cub Club book, not in the new version, in the Cub Club version of the book, when brother and sister are in the bathtub together, you don't know who's who.
Yeah, in the new version, they put a pink bow.
The pink bow is on
she
sister.
She just always keeps on that pink bow.
She always has the...
It's very important to know who's the girl and who's the boy.
Off with the clothes and into the tub went brother and sister and brother for some scrub-a-dub-dub. And that's it. Like in the Cub Club book, they jump in the tub and they get clean. In the newer version, there's a big talk about how many toys go in the tub.
And bubble bath.
And there's a lot of bubble bath.
Oh, yeah. Papa puts one full cup of bubble bath. It's actually cap, not...
It's supposed to be a cap. He's supposed to put a cap of bubble bath, and he accidentally puts a cup. Which, again, this is newer. This is later days Papa Bear. So it's not presented as him being a big old doofus. It's just he misread the instructions. Now, I will go out on a limb and say a cup of bubble bath is a lot. Like, if you have to go into the kitchen to get a measuring instrument, it's probably more than is intended.
Also, he never did... How old are these kids? He's never done bubble bath.
That's okay. Brother didn't know what a nightmare was until he was like 8 years old. So apparently bears hit developmental stages at different times than adults do.
He didn't get like a cup from the kitchen. He got... A glass, like a real...
No, it's a measuring cup.
It's a measuring cup.
I do like that in both books, both parents are putting the kids to bed. Thumbs up for that.
Yes, they're both battling. And so they have to...
Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair.
They have to... Papa is... Looks like... In the Cub book, it looks like he's trying to force shampoo off one of the cub's noses. Just in the way it's drawn. But he does complain about getting splashed. And I relate to this, because when Mitzi is bathing... She flails around a lot, not on purpose, but even if she's taking a shower, she like throws her arms about and water gets on the floor and then water gets everywhere. It tends to go into the basement.
Oh, yeah. Especially when I'm, oh, no, not this page.
What's this page?
The snake page.
So there's a snake in my book, but not a real snake.
Data. Papa squeezes the toothpaste too long, and it's like a yard. In the, yes, the Cub Club version, brother squeezes it, and he doesn't think it's too long.
It's too long.
And Mama's like, we use an inch of toothpaste, not a foot or a yard.
And I'm like, an inch is still way too much toothpaste to put on a toothbrush. Yeah. But what's funny is, in the Cub Club version, it's basically, don't use too much toothpaste. In the newer version, there's an argument, and it's over what kind of toothpaste they're using.
Oh, yeah, that their friends have fancy-dancy toothpaste.
Fancy. They use white toothpaste, and they don't want to use white toothpaste. And Papa gets so angry, he squeezes the tube too hard, and toothpaste shoots out all over the place. And I find it funny that, like, I have shot too much toothpaste out of this tube is an important enough plot point that it had to appear in both books. However, under completely different circumstances.
It's a cute picture.
It is. Also, their robes are yellow in the original version, and they are a nice shade of like...
But in both cases, they're matching and pretty cute.
Yeah. And also, do kids use bathrobes? All right. So, time for bed. March on in there and... Oh, yeah. And so in the Cub Club book, sister puts on her pajamas upside down. And it is a delightful picture. I do love that sister's hands are in her footies and her feet are coming out of her arms.
Except
so then where is her head coming out
I know.
Out of?
There is a weird head hole where the feet are supposed to go.
Let's move on.
Okay. There's no head. There is no head hole in these pajamas. Okay. I find the picture very cute, but it honestly doesn't work. Logistically,
I hope
this isn't
otherwise we have concerns.
It's a sleeper. I mean, I can understand it having a place for like pooping.
You can flip that book upside down and right side up as many times as you want.
Maybe that's like the back if she has to go to the toilet, but it still doesn't explain like where her head would
be
coming.
It's a vertical cut. I just can
anyway. Time for your prayers in both versions. Okay, so it's weird in the Cub Club version, it specifically. It specifically sets it up so that they are saying a prayer to bless every single person they know. And they are getting ridiculous in their list. They're praying for Fred's dog, Snuff, their treehouse, Farmer Ben, Farmer Ben's horse. until finally Mama like cuts them off. And she's like, stop, you can't pray forever. Which is, oh, the biggest point in the whole book. And it was only noticed by Mitzi when we were reading out loud.
Thank you.
The biggest.
Oh, right.
The biggest point in this whole book. I'm reading this book, okay?
Cub Club book.
The Cub Club version. I get to the page after the prayers and it says, stop, Mama cried. Those blessings of yours may be very clever, but here's my rule 6. You can't pray forever. And I hear this voice from the back seat go,
where's rule 5?
Where's rule 5? And I was like, oh, well, no, rule 5 was, huh. So 2 pages back, Mama said, now, said Mama, I have one rule more. Listen, my dears, to rule number 4. And she says, you got to say your prayers. Then they say their prayers. And then it's rule number 6. And Alana had an idea that once upon a time there may have been some rule in the middle. Rule number 5, which, so there is a...
And is that even the last rule? And the 6 doesn't even rhyme with anything. That doesn't, there's no reason for...
Right, it could have been rule number 5, you can't pray forever. And I
think... Is there even a rule number 7? Or was that the last rule?
To rhyme with like, nope.
Nope, that's it.
Nope, so it could have been 5 rules, but it... They skipped ahead to 6.
Well, and in the other book, the newer book, Papa is getting tired and says, all right, get into bed. And they're like, but don't you want us to say their prayers? And they're like, oh, yeah, right, those prayers.
Oh, or how did I read it?
Go ahead, say your prayers, said Mama.
Which I realize is probably not how it is intended. Probably, oh, go ahead, say your prayers. And so in the new version, they just say a bunch of prayers, but... And Mama and Papa have these looks on their faces, like they are...
I guess in both cases, it's sort of a stalling device.
The prayers?
Yeah.
But they don't call it out in the newer version. The parents don't say anything about it. They just move on to the storybooks. In this one, Mama jumps right in.
Little Lady their dog?
Little Lady is their dog that they got in one of the earlier books. You never see her. She's just mentioned. She's rarely ever seen again. Also, the rule number 6, you can't pray forever, is just sinister. Like, that's an ominous rule. Now it's story time. And sister chooses Little Red Hen. Brother chooses the 3 Billy Goats Gruff. I believe it's different books in the...
3 Little Kittens and still Billy Goats Gruff.
I do find it funny that sister chooses 3 Little Kittens and brother declares 3 Little Kittens to be a namby-pamby story. And how does he describe Billy Goats Gruff? Here's a real story. The 3 Billy Goats Gruff. And I'm like,
there's still stories.
There's still children's, just sort of children's fairy tale story. Like, they're not like...
The whole bedtime battle thing, like, okay, so they want different books. All right. Like, it's just, none of it is impressing me.
Yeah. Plus, like, how long are these books?
Yeah, right.
I mean, the 3 Little Kittens is basically like, they lose their mittens, they don't get any pie.
Like, we often read more than one book anyway.
Right.
So
Little Red Hen. Little Red Hen's a little more involved than 3 Little Kittens. I wonder why they changed it to 3 Little Kittens.
No one knows her Little Red Hen anymore?
So the parents decide to each read the child a book. While reading, they fall asleep.
I did think that was interesting. I thought there was going to be some sort of sharing message there. And instead it was like, no, we'll just have 2 parents read a different book to each kid.
And in the Cub Club book, the kids pull out a card game, like Uno or something, and begin playing.
It's definitely not Uno.
It's not Uno, but it's something. And then in the newer version of the book, the kids just sit in bed and read. Now, this is a book I've read before. I've read it to Mitzi before. Not this one. So the Cub Club book is long out of print, and I had to borrow it from Interlibrary Loan. But I've read the Bedtime Battle before. I've owned it for a long time. I don't even remember why I own it. I've just owned it for a long time.
Why'd you get both versions?
Because I wanted to compare the two stories. This is a book that was deemed worthy of being rewritten. It's something I think many parents can relate to. But what's funny is, and I think this is telling of the books, especially at this point in the HarperCollins line, is that unlike the first time books, this book doesn't even...
Which book?
The newer version. Well, neither of them. But the newer version doesn't attempt to teach any kind of lesson.
Oh, right. In both cases, the kids win the battle.
The kids just win the battle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the lesson. It's hard saying that don't try to get your kids to do stuff because they're too amazing.
Well, on the cover of the newer one, so the cover of the older one is kids having fun and Mama lecturing at them and the house is a mess, but they're mostly just sort of running around having fun. The newer version is the parents looking dejected and overwhelmed. And
they're in their night clothes, jump roping. Sister is jump roping and brother is... on a pogo stick.
Right. They're like just way, way beyond. And that one to me looks like a bedtime battle, but then the inside is just not.
Yeah.
It's just getting ready for bed. They're getting ready for bed book, not the bedtime battle.
That's what I thought. So when I first read this book, I remember thinking, okay, this is going to be a book about, and again, I read the newer version first. I thought this is going to be a book about the Cubs don't want to go to bed. They're being jerks. Eventually the parents figure something out. Oh, here, every night we try to put these kids to bed and they stall and they're slow and they won't listen and they create a mess and we get so worn out. What can we do to make bedtime easier for everyone? That's what a Berenstain Bears book kind of tries to do, is like, how can we make this work for the family? Instead, nope, this is, I guess, just what a typical night is.
I also like in the newer book, at some point they say something about like, don't wake up honey or something like that. I've already put honey to bed. And I love that they have like a baby or a toddler, and the one that's the older kids, that they're like, oh, bedtime.
Yeah. Also, in this one, in the newer version, it sets up that this is such a common occurrence that at bedtime, all the animals in bear country stop what they're doing to listen to
the older one. Yeah.
No, in the newer one.
In the newer one?
The newer one sets up. No, the older one just has all the other animals going to bed. The newer one has all the animals in bear country, the ears of the squirrels perk up, the ladybirds decide not to fly away home, all the eyes are on the treehouse because the bedtime battle is about to begin.
Oh, wow.
In the Cub Club version, you have, again, wonderful bear country stuff, but it's about bear country settling down for bed. All the animals are just settling in to go to sleep,
except
in the bear's treehouse, where the great bedtime battle is about to begin. And again, in the Cub Club version, it's not much of a battle. I don't think the Cubs are being belligerent in the Cub Club version. They're being deliberately belligerent in the new version. And we don't learn anything about how to deal with them.
No, I'm just feeling, I don't know, I'm just thinking of, was it last night, Mitzi, when I was like, I can't read you anymore. It's too late. You were too slow. Remember that? I think that was last night.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm like, this is nothing.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, who is this book? Okay. The Cub Club version makes sense to me because it's a simple little, basically just a setup and a joke. Like it's the Cubs running, the Cubs getting ready for bed. And at the end of it, it's the parents who fall asleep. And it's kind of just like, all right, like I get that's a,
wah, wah.
It's a wah. Yeah. Most of the Cub Club books are little like wah, wah jokes at the end. Then you expand it into a full story and it becomes like this little psychodrama in which nothing happens at the end. And I'm wondering, like, who is this book for? Like, is this supposed to be entertaining? It just makes me tired as a parent to read it. Is it supposed to, do you find this book entertaining, Mitzi? Like, is this funny? Is this funny to you? Does this make you laugh?
Does it doesn't parent? Make me, like, laugh, but it doesn't make me cry.
Good. I think it's pretty. I think it's a pretty, like, a nice to look at book.
Which one?
Both of them.
The newer one, I think, in particular. I mean, I think the older one, the Cub Club one, is just, it's so simple. Like, the pictures are nice, but they're just very simple.
So the newer version, I find the art a little wonky in it. This is a very transitional period for the Berenstains. I believe that Mike was taking over some of the artwork responsibilities. You can see it in the bears' faces. You can see it in the way their hair is.
Wait. Is Papa doing an Egyptian walk?
No, he's trying to pop the bubbles in the air. This is a pose I've never seen Papa in. And we see once Mike starts taking over some of the illustration duties, you start seeing the bears striking poses and making facial expressions you've never seen them make before, because he's going a little different direction with them. Their bodies get a little lankier. And he starts changing the positioning of some of the aspects of their faces. And it could be that it's Mike. It could just be that this was a more quickly drawn book. But there's little things like, do you see how like the watercolor background doesn't quite touch their heads?
Yeah.
Like there seems to be some of the illustrations seem to have been done quicker than the others. You can sort of see that. There's a sketchy quality to it. Like you can almost see like the pen, like it almost looks like colored pencil.
Yeah.
But then you get lovely shots like the full 2-page spread where all the animals are looking at the Cubs treehouse that, and again, like you get some really nice dynamic movement. You get brother. Anytime the Cubs look smug is a great day for me. And brother and sister looking smug as they slowly put their toys away is a joy and a treat and a joy. Plus, in the newer version, if you look at the parents' eyes as the story goes along, you will start noticing that they have deliberately drawn the parents looking more and more tired in each drawing, so that by the time you get to the, like, near the end, They have bags under their eyes.
Oh, yeah, big bags.
And then by the very end, they're completely asleep. So my question for both of you, and I think you may have already answered it, but my question for both of you is, the Berenstain Bears bedtime battle, which version is the superior?
The newer one.
Agreed.
You agree the newer one.
Well, because also the older one has that construct of counting through the rules, which is sort of weird because they're not really... I thought it was going to kind of help with sequencing, you know, for little kids. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll do like a... You're supposed to do like... I'm trying to think if we ever did this with you, Mitzi. We used to talk about it sometimes in the early childhood classes. Like when kids can't read and they can't keep all the steps of something in their head, we had a song for you about all the steps of bedtime. I won't sing it.
How did it go?
I won't sing it.
Oh, you won't sing it. Will you sing it to me after I stop recording? Yes.
But it was to help you keep track of all the steps for bedtime. And so I thought maybe this was going to do that. But it didn't, because then it was like, say your prayers and don't say them too long.
Right. You can't pray forever. Rule number five.
So I don't know. I guess if the one is aimed at younger kids and was reworked a little bit or something to just kind of help, like then it would be more of like a, hi, here's what we do at bedtime book.
Yeah.
And that could make some sense. I think the newer one that's gotten a little more going on is fun. I still feel like... Maybe they just wanted to call it the bedtime battle because
of alliteration.
Yeah, and it makes it sound fun. But like, I feel like they're trying to like ratchet it up in the title and on the cover. And inside, it's more a story of like, maybe it is aimed at the parents of like, whew, it sure is a lot of work to get your kids to bed. And by the time you're done, you just want to go to bed yourself, don't you?
Like, yeah, I just think it's funny that like in the expansion into a storybook, they didn't come up with a solution. They didn't say, let's turn this into a...
The only part that really bugs me is how they're like, I want this book. Okay, you'll each get what you want. Like, wait, what?
I think that's supposed to show just how tired they are. And after a while, the battle isn't worth fighting anymore.
I guess.
For me personally, I actually like the Cub Club version more.
Oh, yeah?
I like the rhymes. I think it has some of the more competent, like, fun sing-songy rhymes that I've read in a Cub Club book. They really seem to have worked on this one. Then Mama came in. She had a big box. She stepped over dolls. She stepped around blocks. Now hear this, Mama Bear said. It is 8 by the clock. It is time for bed. It's almost Dr. Seussian in its bounciness and its fun. I don't know. I am a big fan of the Cub Club books, so I have a soft place in my heart for them. Unfortunately, you cannot...
You read it like... It was a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, it's bouncy. Unfortunately, as with all the Cub Club books, it is long out of print. So if you want to get your hands on the Cub Club book, you're either going to have to do interlibrary loan like I did or buy it used online. The Berenstain Bears Bedtime Battle, the new version, is very much in print. You can order a new copy of it today. You might be able to find it in your local bookstore. I've seen it for sale just on over the counter.
I forgot to mention one thing I like about the newer one, which is that they argue about that it shouldn't be their bedtime, and that made me laugh because that's pretty...
Oh, yeah.
That rung true.
Sister was very unhappy that... Brother was very unhappy that he has to go to bed so early, and sister is very unhappy that she has an earlier... That she should have an earlier bedtime because she's younger, which is something she did not choose to be. There is some clever word. There is some clever dialogue in the new version. So the newer version, it's actually grown on me. Like I actually, since this morning, I've actually grown to like the newer version better than I had before. But the Berenstain Bears bedtime battle, regardless of which version you get, it is worth a look at. I think at least see if you can pick up a copy. Well, the strangest thing about this book is that there is no television episode based on it, so there's no Patreon special bonus this week. So also we're on vacation, and so the fact that we actually were able to put out an episode this week at all is amazing to me. The fact that I hauled all my recording equipment up to a cabin when we're supposed to be relaxing and enjoying ourselves. Thank you so much, Alana, for joining me on this episode.
It was very relaxing and enjoyable.
Aw, thank you, Mitzi, for bopping in. You didn't know if you were even going to want to be on the episode.
No.
I'm glad you had something to say.
She's all done. She has nothing.
You picked up the microphone. Why'd you pick up the microphone if you have nothing to say?
She's distracted by the view of the lake.
That is called dead air, and it is bad for radio. If you are on Patreon, that means you have access to all of my bonus content, and I have been putting out more or less an episode a week just for my patrons. If you contribute $1 a month or more, you get the bonus content. It's on a special feed right there on your podcast player. You can listen to my bonus episodes. So if you are so inclined and you want to throw $1 my way every month or even more, go right ahead. There are other benefits the higher up you go as far as contributions go. Otherwise, you can find me online on Facebook at deep in bear country. You can find me on Twitter at BStainBearcast or find me at BerenstainBearcast.wordpress.com. If you want to find my older episodes, which are no longer available on the feed, if you want to hear one through like, at this point, I think it's like one through like 50, you're going to have to go to BerenstainBearcast.wordpress.com and listen to it on your WordPress player, because that's the life when you're a podcaster and they won't let you put any more episodes on your feed. I'll figure it out one day, but until then, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you, Alana and Mitzi, and I will see you all next time
deep in bear country. Mom, you didn't say the thing.
I never knew if we're supposed to.